Hey, you got the morning show with Aaron, and in the studio I've got Dr. Hisu Whitten. Good morning.
Great to be here with you, Aaron.
Yeah. So this time yesterday, I only thought I had one interview this morning, and over the course of the day I picked up two others, and this is the last one for the day. You just had got in touch with me near the end of my show yesterday morning, and you are a holistic chiropractic practitioner, is the words we're using to describe you. But I think what's really interesting about you is that you seem to be creating, in the process of creating, a new approach to healing. And when I say approach, I mean literally the way that you deal with and work with the patient. So can you just briefly describe your philosophy around that?
The challenge will be the word briefly. So I've been at this for about 30 years.
Yeah.
And I saw a big gap. There was a lot of missing pieces to holistic healing.
Yeah.
And, you know, since the Chinese, you know, they use pulse diagnosis to try to read what's going on in the body.
Yeah.
And they could read the tongue, and people do reflexology.
Yeah.
And in the 60s, they came up with applied kinesiology, which was this muscle testing technique where you could get yes-no answers from the body.
Yeah.
And so I had this idea that, you know, if you ask the right questions, the body will tell you exactly what it needs. And so I was looking to develop a system where I could create a menu of all the structural, nutritional, and energetic healing modalities that the body might need to get well, and allow the body to choose instead of me as the doctor using my intellect to try to figure out someone as unique and complex, you know, as a individual.
Yeah, so this is the key thing, the approach. Literally the approach to the patient is to say, get them to be the expert on their health, and or the expert on their diagnosis.
Exactly.
So I should say that you gave me a treatment yesterday so that I could properly understand it, and I'm not saying anything. Like, I'm not being an expert on myself in that sense.
Right.
You're just asking my body through muscle testing.
Yeah, the premise is that at the subconscious level, your brain has a PhD in you.
Yeah.
It knows everything that you've ever experienced. It knows what foods are good for you. It knows what traumas that you haven't gotten over yet.
Yeah.
And how they're stored in the body. And also how to heal them, how to clear them. And so if I just be quiet and listen, your body will tell me exactly what your top priority is. And my job is just to deliver the therapies that your body is requesting. So it's what I call a patient-driven system.
Yeah. And because you can ask the body anything, essentially, like that's pretty easy, do you seem to end up in different kind of modalities, different medical techniques to solve problems? Like, because I feel like it could take you anywhere. And that's what I was kind of picking up yesterday.
Yeah, it's been an interesting journey. You know, I've spent probably 3 or 4 hours a day working on this for 30 years. So
yeah.
We're talking about 40,000 hours I've devoted to this. And so when you go to a traditional chiropractor, they'll lay you down and find where you got some tight spots and adjust you. But we were never taught how to ask the body if that's really what you need, if that's your highest priority.
Yeah.
And so I'm asking the body, is your top priority nutrition?
Yeah.
And should we approach healing from a nutritional point of view, you know, changing the diet? The body might want soft tissue work. It might want massage or myofascial release or trigger point work. And so I'm just really doing muscle testing to find out what your body is inviting me to do, basically, which is, to me, incredibly honoring to the patient, to really say, I want to know through the muscle testing, through your nervous system giving me permission, that this is what you really want. So if your body does want a chiropractic adjustment, it might not want a hard adjustment, might want a soft adjustment.
Yeah.
So like we did with you, when it came to adjusting your lower neck, initially it said just hold it very gently at first, until the nervous system is ready to give it, you know, a little bit more force.
Yeah. So is that, why did the nervous system get ready? It almost sounds like a trust thing or something.
Exactly. So, yeah, if somebody's been injured in the past, you have to almost let the nervous system know, okay, this is out of alignment, we're going to be doing this adjustment, and just holding it in the right position and say, okay, just relax, get ready for it,
yeah,
and prepare it for the adjustment, which is...
So you started off as a chiropractor, and that's the first training that you had. I guess the question was sort of like, is there a tendency to solve all the problems chiropractically because that's what you know? Or like,
yeah.
how does that issue work out for you?
Well, like I say, the story goes all the way back to childhood. So my mother left when I was two.
Okay, right. All right. Let's go back there. Yeah.
So I had all these emotional issues from being left by the mother.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't have any siblings. It was just me and dad.
Yeah.
And so the emotional ramifications of that, I had to unravel that emotional piece. You know, I spent a lot of years working on that. So I knew... the mind and the emotions were a key component to healing,
yeah,
that I wanted to be able to offer people, because the goal is to help people become free, not just yeah, free from pain, but free, you know, free in one's self-esteem, free to, you know, feel powerful and be able to manifest the life that we want.
Yeah.
So to be, you know, have a lot of energy and have flexibility and, you know, not be in pain, but also be psychologically free. So the mind was important. And then I was chronically sick. My dad was a sugar addict.
And okay, so, yep.
And my grandmother got sick from cancer when I was about 12 or 13. And she got herself well just through diet and nutrition and detox. So
yeah,
from her, I learned the importance of nutrition. And then I was an athlete. I was a gymnast and a swimmer. So I liked body work. My mom was a massage therapist, and her second husband was a chiropractor. So I thought, you know, the structural component's really important, too. You know, we live in these structural bodies. And so being able to be flexible and put things into alignment, that was important, too. So I got introduced to the structural, the nutritional, and the emotional pieces, you know, just by the life that I grew up to.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I wanted to integrate all that. And so I was looking to how to do that. And, you know, through chiropractic, there were techniques out there that were doing some basic versions of emotional healing.
Yeah.
But it wasn't very deep. And so... It really wasn't addressing and healing the things that I was dealing with.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
so I developed this technique basically to heal me.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, you can see. I mean, that's in everyone's story, I think there is that. You didn't arrive there just by chance.
No.
Really, yeah. So the aspect of asking the body, like, is that what muscle testing kinesiology has always done, or have you taken things to a new level with that? Like, how does that fit in?
It's kind of a long answer, but even though muscle testing does have a way to dialogue with the body, most techniques out there end up with a protocol with a finite list of possibilities, and they basically force the body into choosing from a small list of modalities.
Yeah.
And so it really wasn't open-ended. And it forced the body into choosing a modality that it might not ideally prefer if it was given a larger range of options.
Okay, right. And so...
Yeah.
And you were telling me yesterday, the question for you now is just how wide do you go?
Yeah.
Yeah. So where was it at? Like, what were the modalities that would usually been used, and what have you added to it, I guess?
Well, the technique I studied was called clinical kinesiology. So
yeah,
it was the next it was the next generation of applied kinesiology, which was the original technique.
Yeah.
So clinical kinesiology solved several problems from applied kinesiology. It had a way of determining priority,
yeah,
which is really important, because applied kinesiology can find different issues and basically fix them, but it doesn't know if it's a primary issue or just a compensatory issue.
Yeah.
So you really want to get to the root of the problem, because it's like playing dominoes. If you hit the right domino, it knocks down all the other dominoes.
Yeah.
And so clinical kinesiology had a way to ask the body, what's the highest priority?
Right.
But if the highest priority came up as emotion, the only option it offered was a technique called NET, neuroemotional technique,
yeah,
which is basically a system of tapping certain points.
Yeah.
And I found that it didn't really clear things all that deeply.
Yeah.
That when I had it done to me, I didn't really feel a profound shift with that. And I thought, that can't be the end all of emotional healing.
Mm.
And so I looked at, what is emotional trauma? How does it live in the body? And I realized trauma lives in the body as a particular frequency. And so somewhere along the line, I had the realization that if you want to cancel a frequency, you have to match it and achieve wave cancellation.
Yeah.
So I set out to use muscle testing to figure out what frequency a trauma lives at and where it lives in the body, and be able to direct a frequency to the exact place where that trauma is held and basically cancel out that frequency.
Yeah.
And it goes much, much deeper than any technique, any tapping techniques out there.
So people might be thinking that you're doing that wave cancellation with a device.
Exactly.
But I didn't see a device yesterday. So how does that work?
Yeah, well, when you want to correct something at the structural level, the tool for that is my hands. So my hands can adjust you and rub you and do myofascial release. When I want to make a correction at the nutritional level, the primary tool is food or supplements.
Yeah.
But when you want to correct something at the energetic level, the tool for that, drum roll please, this took a lot of years to figure out, is a focused thought.
Okay.
So a focused thought. So we're actually capable of generating frequency through our intention and using the hands to direct that frequency to the location that it's needed.
Okay. So I imagine some people will have difficulty with this kind of thing.
Right.
Do we worry about that, or do we just get on and focus on the people who have come for help?
Yeah. You know, some people intuitively get it, and some people intuitively think it's a bunch of baloney.
Yeah.
So you just got to do your work, be true to yourself,
yeah,
and the results will speak for themselves.
Yeah, yeah. And so you did with me, you zeroed in on a really specific frequency,
mm-hmm,
and you were naming it with numbers. I can't remember quite what the number was, but
it was a right frequency. It's a sound frequency. And so when we're muscle testing, let's say the frequency is 714 hertz that your body needs, your muscle will be strong at 713 and go dead weak at 714.
Yeah, which is what I experienced. Yeah.
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 And so what that indicates is that you're just, you know, 714, it's not just a sound. It's not just a word that we're saying.
Yeah.
We must be able to generate it, and your body must be able to feel that frequency because your nervous system responded to it. In other words, your muscle went dead weak when I said 714, which indicates that we generated it and your body felt it and said, that's the frequency I need, because it created a response in the body.
Yeah, yeah. And you're looking at frequencies, and those are frequencies of sound you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But there are frequencies of light and frequencies of radio waves, I guess. Like, I know about those. I run a radio station, so they go all over the place.
Well, I use that as an example. See, if we're, let's say we're transmitting frequency, radio frequencies right now.
Yeah.
If somebody doesn't have a receiver, in other words, a radio, they can't hear it.
Yeah.
So you need something that can I how do you call it, that can interpret those frequencies
yeah.
and translate it into sound.
Yeah.
So if you were in the 1800s and said there's radio frequencies floating through the air, Mozart's floating through the air, you just can't hear it because you don't have a receiver,
yeah.
they'd think you're crazy.
Yeah, yeah, that's a nice explanation, yeah.
So the body's actually transmitting all the information about it,
yeah.
and the muscle testing serves as a receiver to decode that information.
Yeah, I mean, human being, we are electromagnetic beings, aren't
yeah,
we? As well as flesh and blood and all
exactly.
that. Like, the cells have a polarity and, yeah, okay, so we, for me, that's enough of a basis to go on with the mechanics and the details. Well, it sounds like the details are yet to be worked out exactly, but
yeah.
Like,
so, you know, color has its very small range of frequencies and sound has its range of frequencies. So I've created a list of every different phenomenon in nature because
yeah.
every different phenomenon, like the flowers and foods and animals, they all have a range of frequencies, kind of like a spectrum.
So is that how we ended up with bananas at one point?
Exactly.
I can't quite remember how we got there. What did you learn from my body telling you that bananas were represented a frequency?
Yeah, so like I say, on my chart,
yeah.
I have a list of essential oils and gems and planets and sounds and colors and
yeah.
elements of the periodic table, and there's a list of about 60 things.
So this is how wide you've gone with this search
yeah.
for frequencies that the body responds to.
Well, I created categories of every phenomenon in the world.
Yeah.
So that because every phenomenon has a spectrum of frequencies that it operates with.
Yeah.
You know, and so when it comes to clearing a particular emotional issue, the body will, through muscle testing, it will say a certain modalities, like let's say gems or foods or animals. The body will choose the modality that has the right range of frequencies to cancel that particular emotion that's stuck in the body.
So the fact that we arrived at the word banana didn't mean I needed to go and eat a banana.
No. Like I say,
that's not the point, right?
No, if it wanted a banana, it would have asked for a nutritional therapy
first, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, did you have a point while this process was evolving, where you were like doing light? Light's an obvious one, and sound's the most obvious one for frequency.
Mm-hmm.
And you went, I need more. Should I do more? Is this the right way to go?
Yeah, it grew and grew and evolved and. And to this day, you know, every week or two I'll have new insights, even after 30 years of doing this,
yeah.
that I'm fine-tuning things constantly.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a dead system, so, you know, we're creative. And that's what I love about this work is that the body is so multidimensional and health is so fascinating
yeah.
at the spiritual level as well as, you know, the biochemical level. That we're always learning, we're always growing, we're always expanding. You know, my girlfriend has MS.
Yeah.
She, you know, she developed this autoimmune disease about 5 years ago. So that greatly expanded my knowledge of how to deal with the immune system and,
yeah.
and things like that. So, and I have my own issue. If you can hear, my voice is a little shaky. I have a
yeah.
condition called essential tremor.
Right.
And so my own issues, I actually get excited about because because it's an opportunity for me to learn how to heal something
yeah.
that the medical system says is progressive and there's no cure for.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to, because I have to expand my own techniques to help heal, you know, any issues that arise in myself. So my own body is my own laboratory. So, you know, I welcome... When I get sick, I get excited. It's like, oh, okay, I get to learn how to fix a new issue.
Well, it's a novel twist to put on being sick. Like, most of us don't do that. But well, actually, no, some people are like, at last I can stop working and rest. And it's like it's an excuse to stop working.
Well, we can get upset about things or welcome the opportunity that
yeah.
every opportunity, you know, every circumstance brings us. So
yeah. So how many of... people are there? Like, because you've come from chiropractic work, and this is a kinesiology technique. Well, I think I went to visit a naturopath once who used muscle testing. But how many people are taking it to where you've gone with it?
You know, I don't want to. I mean, nobody's taken it to the level that I've taken it to.
Yeah.
And the people that are most impressed with this work are other people that do kinesiology.
Yeah.
Because they know the field and they realize just how much farther I've taken it.
Yeah.
So I was working on a chiropractor in town today,
yeah,
or yesterday, who's done this work, done muscle testing for 4 or 5 years. And so I really appreciate working on other chiropractors and people that are in this field. It's kind of like jazz musician. You know, they can appreciate
yes,
each other's.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Jazz music. I feel like I was just kind of blindly, almost blind in terms of that, like figuring out what you were doing.
Yeah.
And things like that, and trying to come to, and you were trying to explain it to me maybe more than you normally would because you knew there was an interview coming up.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
But like I used to work on a professional surfer named Kelly Slater.
Okay. Yeah, everyone here has heard of Kelly Slater because it's, you know, it's Raglan, it's surfing. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
In fact, I think he might be in New Zealand now. We're still in touch with each other.
Yeah.
But I met him in my mid-30s, and I'd always wanted to meet him. We have a lot of things in common.
Yeah.
He's interested in holistic health, too. He's had incredible longevity. But he wasn't winning. He was 35 years old, and I met him, and I told him, I said, I've developed a system of healing that will get you so aligned, you'll be number one again. And he had gotten third the year before, so. And there was a couple guys coming out, Dane Reynolds and Jordy Smith,
yeah,
who were rookies at the time. And he said, these guys are doing things I don't think I can do. Mm. I don't know if I can win anymore. And he'd won 8 world titles at the time.
Yeah.
And so we worked very closely for 3 out of the next 4 years. And those 3 years that we worked together, he won the world title those years by such an extent he could have skipped the last contest.
Really?
He won it by such a margin, it was mind-blowing. And the last time he won, he was 39. And every time I worked on him and got his belief in himself.
Yeah.
So essentially we were working on clearing his self-doubt because he was getting older and the new kids were coming up and they were so talented. So I said, let's just clear your own self-doubt and get it to where you're just relying on your experience. And over the course of the year, you'll be dominant. And that's what happened. And we had a great relationship over you know, those 3 years. And
that must have brought a lot of joy to him as well to discover that he didn't have to decline just because that was the standard pattern. Yeah.
It was amazing.
So what about for... Since there's not many of you doing this, how can people help themselves? You were talking to me yesterday about something you do when you wake up, just as an individual, like clearing things.
Yeah, my goal really for this work is not to make it incredibly complex, but actually make it a whole lot more teachable. So all I really need to know from the body is, you know, what's priority number one? What is it that your body wants and where do you want it?
Yeah.
So let's say the body wants a massage. And the next question is where and how deep and how hard to do it. So I've created a Zoom class. It's a 5-week Zoom class that teaches people how to work on themselves and how to clear their own emotional blocks and how to find out their ideal diet and exercise program and just tune in. It's really a way to reconnect with our intuition. Muscle testing is just a trick to reconnect with our intuitive knowledge, which as adults we've lost connection with to a great extent.
Mm.
And so I teach a 5-week Zoom class. It's 1 hour a week. And basically I just take people through the process of getting very clear on how to get a yes and a no from their own body. And once they learn that, they can do the same process with their family and friends as well. So that's kind of like the initial course that I teach.
Yeah, yeah. There was an interesting thing about when you did the treatment. If you folks have just tuned in, we're talking to Dr. Hisu Witten, ostensibly a holistic chiropractic practitioner, but developing this technique or this approach, as you've heard. And so I got a free treatment yesterday, which was cool, and has helped me actually ask the questions today. I had a list of things in my head that I thought that I needed treatment for. I was surprised that the way it happened was my body said sort the neck out first. So I had a little bit of a sore, crooked neck, which you did sort out. I guess, what can we say about that? It's just the body decided that's the most important thing or the most pressing thing. I don't know. What do we say about that? Why did it choose that?
Well, it didn't choose the neck first. It first wanted to get your system to relax. Like there was some tension in the body.
Yeah.
And so it said, let's just get the system fully relaxed. So the purpose of this work is to create ease, ease and flow in the body. Yeah. So it found out where there was lack of ease or tension.
Yeah.
And apparently in the neck there was tension, and just in the body, everybody's carrying around stress. So it just wanted to get the body to relax and release the stress, because stress wastes a lot of energy. It's like wasted energy. And so if we can get the body to relax and be at ease, the body can allocate that energy towards your own healing.
Yeah.
And so it's pretty hard to understand the logic of the body. It's just so incredibly complex. But I'm going to be here doing sessions today.
Yeah.
Then I'm going to be going to Waiheke, I believe you pronounce it.
Yeah.
I'll be going there the next few days. So if anybody knows people in Waiheke, I'm going to be offering my work there. This month we're just traveling around New Zealand. It's our first time here. I'd always wanted to do more traveling.
Yeah.
And so we had this idea that what if we just go and offer my services? I wonder if I could just make enough spare change to just keep traveling.
Keep traveling, yeah.
As we go. So this really was a one-month experiment in just connecting with the local people and introducing them to this work. And, you know, I offer my work through courses, through my website. If anyone wants to learn this system, you can go to wittenmethod.com/Zoom.
So Witten is spelled W-H-I-T-T-E-N?
Yes.
Yeah.
wittenmethod.com/Zoom. And we'll be doing that course in a couple months, and people can sign up for that.
It's actually a really wonderful way to travel. You sort of serendipity is delivering all sorts of things into your path that you couldn't have planned for.
That's the beauty of social media, right? We can just say, here I am, this is what I do.
Yeah.
If you want to meet me, I'm on WhatsApp. And
yeah. And so actually, if someone does want to meet you now, having heard this, how are we doing that?
You can do it through email initially. thewittenmethod@gmail is a good one.
Yeah.
Or info@wittenmethod.com. And so I'll be here today doing a couple sessions in Waiheke for a couple days. And then we'll be in Matakana on the 18th. We're cramming in a bunch of things.
Yeah. It's hard to do New Zealand in just a month.
Yeah.
You've probably discovered. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's 6 months minimum, I think.
Yeah, you guys travel for a long time.
Yeah, we have a culture of traveling. Most young people, it's not a rite of passage, but kind of like that to go overseas for a time, you know, when you've left school or left university or whatever, you go overseas for a year or something like that, yeah.
Yeah, when I graduated college, I went to Europe for 2 months, 2.5 months, and I met a guy from Australia, and we traveled around together for a little bit.
Yeah.
And he was traveling for a year, and I was mind blown by that. I said, don't you have any plans? Oh, yeah, I have a plan in like 2 years from now.
Yeah, I've got a ticket home in 2 years. Yeah, I've got to be at that airport on that date. That's my plan, yeah.
But they would work in hotels and do various jobs just to...
Yeah. Australia and New Zealand, our cultures are pretty similar.
Yeah. Very different.
Yeah. Okay, well, look, this has been really interesting. I feel like I have more questions, but time is up. We've got to move on. So we've been talking to Dr. Hesu Witten. Hesu is H-E-S-U. And... people can look you up online as well. You've got videos and things.
That's right. I do have a YouTube channel and an Instagram. Just Witten Method. You can find me.
Yeah, and I imagine an ideal outcome too of your travels and your work is that other people, other practitioners take up the technique and help to evolve it even.
Well, that's really my goal, is to advance the field of holistic healing.
Yeah.
And I think the most powerful thing you can do as a healer is learn how to tune into the patient's body. The body has all the answers. And really the only limitation is the practitioner's ability to listen well.
Yeah.
And so that's what I hope to be my contribution to the field.
Yeah, yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you for coming in this morning. It's been
brilliant.
Thank
you for having me.
All right, folks, that is the end of the show for the day, actually, and for the week. I'll be back again on Monday morning, 8 o'clock. See you then. Mm-hmm.